Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. And on Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host and the producer of Right Here, Right Now is Andy Lowe. Good morning, Andy.
Dr. Tim, how are you this morning?
I am doing great. I'm ready to rock and roll, but I think that's Stone's line, isn't it, usually?
Yeah, but you know what? He's not here anymore, so let's take it from him.
Let's take it from him. It's in memory.
Exactly.
In honor. I guess we should say in honor. He's still alive.
Although he will be back next week.
Yeah, next week is our anniversary show, and you get to really do it all. I've kind of laid it in your lap to be the producer, the co-host, the host, and question us on how did we make it 1 year.
That's going to be a fun show. I'm really looking forward to it.
Great. I think it will be good, too, and we hope everybody will listen in. Top the charts with our show. Well, today, accountability is our theme, and accountability is a critical component for success in anything we undertake, and especially as business leaders, professionals, and entrepreneurs, and that accountability extends into writing as well. One of the best ways to increase the likelihood of having a powerful, effective book is to engage in peer review as you write your manuscript. And that means sending out chapters to colleagues and peers to review and critique and comment upon before you tackle your final draft. Now, today's guests, Belinda Mays and Jim Vilwalk, share their insights and experiences in opening themselves and their writing to peer review and the advantages they have gained from it. And veteran listeners know that I practice ladies first. So Belinda Mays describes herself as, I love this, summa cum laude graduate from the School of Hard Knocks. I know that school. I know that school. Her book is The Success Project, The Making of a Worthy Ideal. And Belinda is the owner and founder of The Success Project, LLC. She specializes in helping time-challenged business owners and entrepreneurs get the results they seek by providing coaching, tools, resources, and accountability check-ins. Welcome, Belinda.
Good morning, Dr. Tim. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight to have you here. Tell us about your writing journey. How did the Success Project come to life?
Well, actually, you know, I'm one of those people that never even thought about writing a book. It never even crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. And it was back in the heyday of the real estate market where, you know, I have an associate broker's license and I was doing some commercial real estate. And then you wake up one day and it's like the bottom fell out. So I, like many others, found myself in a transitional state, mm-hmm. not really knowing what my next move was going to be. I was talking to a friend one day and he said, well, you need to take all these things that you're using to stay, you know, keep yourself focused and positive and put it in a book. And the rest is history.
The man was wise. The friend was wise. You know, I relate to that. Never intended to write. I didn't intend to write a book either. And now I'm on, I think that one, Write a Book, Change the World, is number 6.
Oh, congratulations.
And yeah. So you there's plenty out there, you know. You're still underway. Well, what was the biggest challenge for you in writing The Success Project?
I think the biggest challenge was really not necessarily writing the manuscript, but getting over the fear of how is it going to be perceived? Will it be in my own true voice? You know, what will others think? That was the biggest challenge. And, you know, since we are talking about accountability today, mm-hmm. you know, having my Fave Five, my group of five people that I, you know, really trust and knew would be honest with me to look at it along the way, that mm-hmm. really helped me a lot.
How did you use them? What did they say to you? What did you ask them to do for you and all of that?
Well, you know, the Fave Five is part of my inner circle, so they know me through and through, and they know sometimes I can be a little no-nonsense, and I really wanted them to make sure that the message that I was giving was one of clarity and that had a compassionate element to it and wasn't so, you know, hard-nosed.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually gave me some advice that I liked and some that I didn't like.
Imagine that. That seems to me, then, that they took seriously what you challenged them to do.
Absolutely.
Can you recall some of those things that you really didn't like, and did you pay attention to it?
You know, there were some parts of the book where I really, whenever I'm passionate about something, it comes out in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was coming out too passionate in my writing. And it was, and for the lack of a better word, it was kind of a little over the top. And it did not have an element of compassion. It was, you know, sort of in your face. And that's not really the message that I want to convey. And my sister, who's one of my fave five, and another girlfriend. I know. She's, yeah, I know. And she's an English teacher, so.
Oh, man. That's double.
That was double whammy. But, you know, I took what they had to say, and I didn't like it, but I slept on it, and I respected what they had to say, and then I modified the verbiage.
Is she the English teacher who edited your book?
No.
Dodged that one, didn't I?
No, she was not.
Okay.
No, she was not.
To our listeners who have no idea what I'm referencing, when I was exchanging emails with Belinda for today's broadcast, I found two words on her website which were excerpts from her book that were good words but wrong word in terms of nuance. And she said, whoops, her English teacher editor. So when you said English teacher, I thought, oh, man.
No, because I thought that, you know, there needed to be an arm's length transaction. I didn't
You're
need
right. You're absolutely right. I have a sister as well, and she gets to see my books when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to go. What would you say was the best advice that your Fab Five gave you?
The best advice that I received was just speak from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And although, you know, my book is a self-help book, and it kind of, you know, fits in line with some of the other self-help books out there, but what makes mine different is because I am speaking from personal experience, I am speaking from the heart,
mm-hmm.
and I am passionate about helping people succeed. And the advice that I got from them is that if I could just convey that in my writing style, that's all that I really needed. And that's what I think I did.
I have a question about that. So, because it sounds like you've got an element where you're passionate about it,
mm-hmm.
and you said that it came off a little over the top,
yes.
and a little too much in your face.
Mm-hmm.
But is that your style?
It is my style. However, for my first book and having people get to know me, I didn't really want that to be totally conveyed up front. You know, I want to ease into it a little bit, but it is indeed my style. Once you get to know me, once you work with me.
And sometimes necessary in the accountability arena.
It is. You know, my philosophy is go hard or go home. I mean, if you're not here to do the work, then, you know, you need to go home and regroup and... And see, that could be a little tough for someone.
don't mess with Belinda.
I like her.
That could be a little tough. No. And that's, even though that is a message that's conveyed in the book,
mm-hmm.
it's not the message I wanted to convey right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. What I'm intrigued with, well, many things, but I've had other clients who have told me, assured me that they are writing with passion, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And they even argued with me, and I said, I'll tell you, if that kind of passion were in your book, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I'm intrigued that you went over the top in your passion. I would rather have over than under. I know what I did to light the fire to get the passion into the writing. And what usually happens there, Belinda, is, and you may have experienced this, what you see in your mind as you're writing and what comes out on the paper are not necessarily the same thing. Because you see it, but it doesn't make it down your fingertips onto the paper. How does one overdo and then back off?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Dr. Tim. I don't know how I was able to do it, but I have, you know, what I like to call a gift of kind of stepping outside of myself,
mm-hmm.
and looking at it with a different set of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And also... the friend that actually had me to start writing the book, we also hired a focus group of just strangers that we didn't even know to read the manuscript.
Great, great.
To actually get their opinion on what voice did they actually hear, you know, to try and depict, well, how do you see the author? You know,
mm-hmm.
what do you feel that the message is? How did you receive the message? So that is actually what kind of put it all together for me to let me know what I want it to say and how I want to say it, and stay true to myself.
That's powerful. I think of many of my clients, and I'm getting fewer and fewer of these, but a lot of my early clients were just, I'm going to write this, and then I'll present it to the world. And they were just really hesitant to have any comments or critiques. It's almost as if somebody sees this or reads it in advance, then it's not going to go anywhere. But that's really the worst way to go, I think.
I agree.
With the focus group that you did, how was that for you as an experience? Again, you're opening yourself to their comments and criticisms.
Well, the way that we actually worked on the focus group, because I wanted to remain in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any of them. All I did,
oh, really?
I didn't see any of them. I let my friend and at that time my business partner handle all of that.
Uh-huh.
And then I just received the comments.
Wow.
And then I was able to take their comments and then kind of look at the different points of view and see, oh, well, I see how they would think that statement meant that, or mm-hmm. it was going in that particular direction. Because the whole concept of my book is to help get someone out of their current situation, to get them unstuck, to get them into a positive frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And by having this focus group and their comments, along with my family and my friends, putting it all together, you know, it just kind of came together. And I had to put my ego aside, because the intent of the book is to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not helping people, hey, I don't have an ego. Oh, I'm an author. You know, that wasn't my intent. It was to help people using the tools and strategies that I used myself to get out of, you know, my state of transition.
Out of your own funk at that time.
Yes.
I appreciate what you just said, that kind of toss away line, throw away line. Oh, I'm an author. Oftentimes when I run into somebody who does that, oh, man, this is confession this morning, Andy. I want to choke them. You know, it's like, come on. It's not, oh, I'm an author. It's, I'm an author. It takes work.
Mm-hmm.
It takes effort. It takes insight. You want any throw in anything there?
I dare not speak.
I just thought I was going to give you a chance. But you're a living example of what you wrote.
Yes.
Would you say, Belinda?
Absolutely.
You had these ideas of where to go and how to help other people, and then you did it yourself. You generated your own company out of it.
Yeah, I did. Well, the company that I formed was a success project
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's kind of how the book came into realization, is because I was looking at my life as a project.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be a success. And the making of a worthy ideal was the whole concept. The worthy ideal was the book. The worthy ideal is me helping people. So the success project, the making of a worthy ideal. And I just challenged everyone who reads the book to find their own worthy ideal and use themselves and their life as the project and keep going, and it, you know, it'll ultimately be a success.
And so now you're out giving speeches, you do workshops.
Mm-hmm. I do.
This is your chance to plug what you do.
Oh, this is my chance to plug. If you're looking for a dynamic speaker who can help you and your corporations, your employees, your members, want to redefine success, I am your go-to woman. I am a no-nonsense, you know, success strategist. If you're a small business and you need a go-hard, a go-home accountability partner that you pay.
talk a little that you pay. We want to pay for abuse. That's it.
Absolutely.
Right?
If you don't pay for it, you don't appreciate it sometimes.
Okay.
That's my thing.
How did you come up with go hard or go home?
I don't know. It's just something that I think I was born with,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's everything that I do. If I'm not going to give my all, I might as well sit home on the couch. You know, so often I hear people talk about other people and what they're not doing, but at the end of the day, they don't go hard. They give it, you know, one try and then, oh, it didn't work out. You got to give it 110, 150%, or either just stay home and sit on the couch and stop complaining about it and stop being envious of others. You see my passion starting to elevate right here?
Oh, absolutely. You're making believers, and the listeners are going to believe it. I certainly am. I mean, I'm looking at the back cover of your book right now, and I like this. I don't think I've run into this, why there is no such thing as time management.
Mm-mm.
Boy, that goes against everything that's out there.
You can't manage time. You can only manage yourself and your activities. Because the same 24 hours a day that some bum who, you know, is not doing anything with their life has, that someone who is very successful, that Donald Trump has. We all have 24 hours in a day, and we cannot manage that. It's coming, and it's going to go no matter what we do. But we can only manage ourselves and our activities. So
that's
no time management there.
That's good.
It's a myth.
I like that. You wrote this well to get the people to open up the book. Why failure is the only option. Now, that's...
It is.
You just love going against it, don't you?
I do. Failure is the only option. That's the only way you're going to know what doesn't work. If every time I went out and succeeded the very first time, and then all of a sudden, you know, I failed, then there's no lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe, even though I don't like to fail, and I wish every time I try something the first time that it, you know, is a success. But when it's not, you know, I give myself that 10 minutes to throw the tantrum and wallow around and cry. But then I get back up and realize, oh, the reason that this project or this thing failed is because, you know, ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's failure is a stepping stone to success. And once you realize that, then you have nothing to fear.
So you're an advocate of Thomas Edison.
Mm-hmm.
And all, however many thousands of attempts with the light bulb.
Absolutely.
And all that. And that is a powerful teaching, isn't it?
It is.
Well, do you have any other books on the horizon?
You know, I am in the process of thinking of a couple of things, and I'm working on some other projects for small business owners. So just, you know, chime in and stay connected with me at belindamays.com, and then you'll be the first to know when, you know, when something new is coming out.
Well, I'm thinking you should go big or go home myself. I'll throw the challenge at you here.
I am going big, and you know, but, you know, there's only so much time in the day. Yeah, you know, I'm kidding, but...
I was going to say, you're not going to throw time management.
Oh, no, I was just teasing with that. No, I was just teasing. But, yeah, I do hope to write another sequel to that book. It's just right now I just have to clear my plate.
Mm-hmm. Well, what advice would you have to anybody who's contemplating writing a book then?
First of all, I say do it. Definitely do it.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is definitely get peer review, get a focus group, and open yourself up for criticism, because most of the criticism that comes your way is not to tear you down. It's to build you up, and because most people around you that really care about you want you to be a success and just die to your ego.
I just got one more comment to throw in there and uh-huh. see your take on this. Is it important to be careful, though, who your peer review is?
Absolutely. It definitely is. Now, even though I only had 5 close friends, people that I, you know, that have seen me at my best and have seen me at my worst. And those are the ones that I entrusted, you know, my manuscript to. I just couldn't go out and say, oh, this is a quote friend or an acquaintance, read this information. And that's why also I thought that the focus group for me worked very well. Because it was a group of people that were potential readers of my book who were going through maybe some challenging times, and I really wanted to get their thoughts, and that's why I kind of stepped back from those individuals that I did not know, just to keep the the preservation of comments there.
Well, once again, if people want to be in contact with you or ask you about writing or engage your services, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to contact me is to visit my website at belindamays.com. That's BELINDAMAYS.com. My email address is very, very simple. It's belinda@belindamays.com. Or you can reach me by phone at 404-931-6888.
That should do it.
That should do it. And then once you go to my website, you can send me an email if you'd like. You can schedule an appointment and connect with me on social media.
Great. You willing to sit while I talk with our other guests, and then you guys can challenge each other? How's that sound?
Absolutely. That sounds great.
Good. Well, now I'm going to turn in my chair just a little bit to talk with Jim Vilwalk, who is a former Fortune 500 global executive and the founder of Job Doctors International and the creator of Integrated Success, the new model for organizational and individual success. Jim has written several books. His current book is in peer review with at least 30 colleagues and peers commenting on his draft. This is Jim's second appearance on Right Here, Right Now, and I asked him explicitly to join us today because when I learned that he has at least 30 colleagues or peers reviewing his manuscript, I thought, this man knows what he's about. This is good. The world has to hear this. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. Where did you come up with the idea of doing the peer review? Why have you chosen so many, and what's it like?
The reason I chose them was because these would be the decision makers in companies, and my business is targeting leadership, teachings, paradigm shifts at both the C-level, the team level, and individual level. So the decision makers are the one really who make the decisions mm-hmm. of who gets hired, who gets promoted, where the company is going. So these are the ones that if I was communicating truth, if they didn't agree with it, mm-hmm. I wanted to know why and what they recommended as a better idea. And so that's why I chose them. Now, the number of them is just because I have a large network of mm-hmm. peers. And many of them are close. Others are not as close, but they're senior executives that I want to give them the privilege and opportunity of reading it, mm-hmm. both to help them. And frankly, it also says if they like it, maybe they should invite me in to help their companies move in that direction. So it's a second motive for that. But at the end of the day, what I found is that as they read the context, it takes a long time for them to get back to me because the C-level executives are busy. But some of them are very obsessive compulsive and edit for me as well. So,
oh,
and I don't, you know, it's interesting when you get their edits back because they're not professional editors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you look at it, they're also coming back from different perspectives. So it gives me a chance to make sure that I'm communicating with my target audience. And so the more that review it, the better. And some of them just read it and love it. And frankly, I prefer those who read it and give me suggestions. Some of the suggestions are additional illustrations of mm-hmm. my points.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are additional nuances that they suggest I add. And I often do.
In the long run, then, it is a very positive experience for you and improves your product.
It improves the product dramatically. From the first draft,
mm-hmm.
It takes me half my time to write the first draft.
Mm-hmm.
The other half the time is this review process because as I go through it, I may wind up with edition 4, edition 5,
mm-hmm.
because some of their comments come back and it says, wow, I really need to retool this chapter or this area and throw it out and start from scratch in some cases. So it has been invaluable for me to produce a product that actually has value to my audience.
That's powerful. I became aware of peer review when I was a part of John Egan's Mission Publishing Program, and in that, people who participate in it wind up writing a book. Well, and I did as well. That was my Writing Secrets book. But John encourages people to get 3 peer reviews for each chapter, and hopefully you get 1 back out of all of that. And quite frankly, I was scared. There was some ego. No, there was a lot of ego involved in that. But just as you're saying, Jim, I was so impressed with the comments that I got back.
Mm-hmm.
Really led me to make some changes in my book that I think enhanced it. How do you pick the 30 people? How do they respond? Or just not just the 30, but you said you go for C-level folks that will probably benefit from it. Do you let them know? Do you ask them? Do you give them a choice? Or do you just, here, read this, please?
No, I start off by going through my list of networking contacts. So mm-hmm. I have probably about 700 C-level executives who I'm connected with. And from that, I have those that I have a relationship with. And these are the ones that I may have known for 5, 10 years. And so they know me, they know what I'm thinking, and they also know the passion of what I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really there to add value and help other people. And when they then receive my email, I'm saying, I've come out with a new book, here's the concept. Are you interested in taking a look at it and reading it for me and providing comments back? And almost all the time, they say, absolutely, but mm-hmm. it will take me a while to get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I have $1 billion CFO who travels a lot to Japan. He's really busy. Certain times of the year, he's got a window that he has some time. So from November through 2 months ago, he was just booked solid. He then writes me back and apologizes, sends me his comments, allows me to quickly go through those, and then I send him a second book. So I have two books in review right now. And the second one, he came back with additional comments, and it worked out.
Wow.
So now he's busy again. I won't get to talk to him again for another few months.
I'm stuck over here. You got two books going, huh?
That's right.
You and I are thinking about what's our next one. He's got two going.
I know. We're not the secrets.
We're not doing something right here, are we?
Well, it also depends on the audience. My audience are primary companies.
Mm-hmm.
And within the companies, at the C-suite for leadership,
mm-hmm.
at the, let's just say, the management level and HR level, and then for them to help provide their employees at the employee level.
Mm-hmm.
So three different audiences. And most of my books are, frankly, at the employee level because those are very concrete roadmaps, steps that they can do, as well as a major paradigm shift thinking.
Okay.
And the paradigm shift thinking applies to anybody in the company.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership and the consultative side is so diverse, depending upon who the client is, the culture, the business objectives, that I have to just come in and sit down with them, understand what they're trying to do. We have some other discrete products and solutions that are amazing that they can take and have high value, high impact in a short amount of time at a low cost. And that kind of gets me in the door for mm-hmm. some of these companies. Some of them, it answers a lot of the gaps that they emotionally recognize they have. They can't figure out how to plug those gaps, and that's what we're trying to address.
Okay. I like that. That's impressive.
Well, keep busy.
Well, that too. That too. Let me share a little bit more about my experience with the peer review. We were encouraged just because we're all just general business people and don't necessarily have the following like you do, just pick people. And one of my biggest dreams was to get Lee Iacocca. And I did have a connection because he and I are both Lehigh graduates. You know, that's a school that beat Duke in basketball.
Duke is my team.
It's a good school. My son lives nearby.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. And we also were members of the Theta Chi fraternity. So armed with that information, I said, fraternity bro. He graduated from Lehigh the year I was born. But at any rate, his executive administrator wrote back and said he apologizes especially to a fraternity brother. But Hazel commented on the book, and I said, can I use your words? And what that taught me was shoot big, go for it, see what you can do. And I approached a few other better-known authors in the spiritual development realm, and they all jumped on it and provided just amazing insight. And then I used a high school English teacher who's one of my son's colleagues, and what she brought to the table was just amazing. They were insights that I wouldn't have otherwise had. And so obviously I had a hidden agenda because I just believe in what both of you are doing, but especially how you go about it. And it just makes a whole lot of difference, doesn't it, Jim?
Well, it does. And I did the same thing. I sent a mailing out to probably 100 C-level executives. One of them, the chairman of State Farm, had his administrative assistant, his actually director of marketing, come back to me and provided me a quote.
Wow.
Because I said, here's my audience, here's what I'm trying to accomplish, and gave me a very astute quote. And then, of course, not from me, but from the chairman of State Farm, has a lot of credibility.
Oh, absolutely.
It let me also go out to other people who not only reviewed my book, but gave me testimonials and endorsements.
Oh, that's powerful.
So it all builds upon each other. And so it's having others review it helps you in many ways.
It sure does. And that's and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a piece that I want our listeners to hear. Any business person, professional, entrepreneur who's thinking about writing a book, go for the peer review.
Yeah.
Because it makes the product better, and as you just articulated so well, it opens the doors to testimonies and endorsements and sales, which ultimately is the name of the game. Do you ever get some reviews that you think, nah, he missed it, don't want to use that?
Absolutely.
Okay. How do you handle that?
Well, I always thank them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to see it, because they'll have to read a book again if they were to see what they did, and most of them don't have the time to do that. So mm-hmm. I'm able to skip around that a little bit. But in many cases, when they make a comment, it's really added value.
Mm-hmm.
And a rare occasion when it's different, it's usually because they didn't understand what I wrote. That then becomes a challenge to me.
Sure.
Why is it they missed my point?
Mm-hmm.
The onus is on me to figure out how to fix that problem so that it should have been clear in what I was saying. And so I usually do revise my wording.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. You are the epitome of what I would like to have as the perfect clients. You are open to those comments. So what's the status of your two books, your two manuscripts?
Well, they're currently in review, but it's lower priority for me.
Okay.
Right now, we're rolling out a major initiative where we're going into companies, but also we're training management consultants, HR consultants, executive coaches, careers coaches, on how they can take in our methodologies into their clients.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the thought leaders, we're the content providers, and we're partnering with them. We also are saying, let's provide training for them, as well as the books, workbooks, certification, so that when they go out, if they need us to help them with their clients, we can come in. But my long-term goal is to find highly qualified, best of the best coaches and consultants who then I can tag on the shoulder and say, why don't you go help this person over here?
Wow, that's powerful.
And then what we'll be doing is building that network up so that the client is first and foremost taken care of,
mm-hmm.
and everyone shares in the results.
That, wow. You've thought it all through. And that's the means for success, right?
Well, but like anyone who's doing what I'm doing, is I've discovered what my role is.
Mm-hmm.
And this was huge burden off my shoulders. I found out that everyone tells you to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that doesn't feel right, and I don't have time to do everything. I took an assessment, which was the only one in the world of this type, that actually pointed out that my role is called, I'm a founder, and I'm what they call a vision mover.
Hmm.
So I'm the visionary, and I'm the strategist. Now, that also means I'm not the doer. So that also says that I need a team with people who are really skilled at dealing with people on a person-to-person basis, because I can provide the structure, the leadership, the direction, the content. But when it comes to working, motivating, teaming with a person at that level,
mm-hmm.
I need partners. I need help. People whose roles, as you were born with, make them perfect fits for that. So now everyone who partners with me, whether it's in my company or as an associate or a partner, have to take the same assessment so I can see where they are in the process.
Oh, my goodness.
This also educates companies
mm-hmm.
where they should put people in the company, in the right roles, in the right seats. It also measures, are they team players? What is their team ability?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at that, often it gives them a filter that says, you know what? I probably shouldn't hire this person.
Yeah.
And it dramatically reduces the risk of hire. The same thing with termination or even organizational development. So
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, this is a partner of mine. I don't own this company. But it is part now of my total solution.
Oh, that's sweet. That's got to be exciting for you. Just listening to you talk about it, it's amazing.
Well, it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This, when you add what I'm doing and what this product is, it really is filling the gaps that have existed forever
mm-hmm.
in companies. And all I need now is to continue adding the coaches and the consultants who then can carry this out to companies and help them.
Wow. People want to be in contact with you, Jim, about your company, about your books, about your writing, your products. What's the best way for them to do that?
The best way is my website, which is jobdoctorsinternational.com. Or they can call me at 678-485-1687. If they want to email me, even though that's on my website, it's jim@jobdoctorsinternational.com. And I abbreviate international, so jobdoctorsintl.com.
Okay. Well, do you two have questions for each other, or is it your turn to get even with me with questions? This has been fascinating, this whole process. You exceeded my hopes, which is great.
I do have a question for you, Jim, as far as the development of your books. Are you taking your programs that you're presenting in a corporate environment and turning them into the book, or are you coming up with a book and then turning them into a program?
Well, that's a very intelligent question. What I do is I simply connect dots from a global business perspective, from the CEO perspective. And I listen, I learn, and I am able then to come up with the process that I think makes the most sense. Often, just like in your book, a lot of what people commonly say is really not very wise. And so we have common sense plus connecting the dots with worldwide best practices. And then I'm able to simply roll out a roadmap or description or a paradigm shift that I then communicate to myself. I finally think I have it. I review it. I edit it. I review it. I edit it to where I'm really to release it to the next level of reviewers. For example, this morning I reviewed and wrote a vision statement for my company that I gave to my wife. She's reading it right now. And when I get back, after I hear her comments, I'm sending out to my staff for their input and comments, because this is going to be the foundation of where we're going as a company. And it ties together a lot of these loose ends. And that process takes time. But once I think I've got it and I understand it, then it's simply a matter of the painstaking process of writing it out. But I've already in my head have written it out in a lot of detail. So now it's just a matter of that process of taking it from my head onto paper. And I'm fortunate I can do that through typing on the laptop very quickly. So once I have it in my mind, it comes out very quickly.
Okay. Thank you.
So what I like, again, what you're saying, Jim, is you take time. You don't feel like, I've got to get this done yesterday. You take time. He manages his use of time. Am I saying that right?
He manages his daily activities.
There he goes.
Within the time frame that he's given.
And to put that in a framework, so many people that I deal with, got to get it done, got to get it done, got to get it done. And sometimes it doesn't get done as good as it could have been done. I hear you saying it's going to be done, it's going to be done well, and the time that it takes to do it, that's the time we're going to take.
That's right. And when I wrote my first book, it was called Whacked Again. It's 5 stars on Amazon. It's written for C-level executives. After I wrote it, I realized that, wow, I missed a couple of things. One is I should have written it for a broader audience. And two, I realized that the whole concept of trusted relationships, I left out. So I had to write a whole new book called Trusted Relationships just to address that.
Oh, darn. Now you have two books out there. You know?
So, and I leveraged my book. So I have some books which are really a rewrite, but different audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. That's very interesting. I've definitely learned a lot, you know, from just this little conversation that we're having here today.
Well, I'll tell the audience that listening to Belinda, I think she is a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to offer her that assessment, and I'll see if I'm right. But I think that she'll have a very successful career. I look forward to seeing what you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's intriguing that he says that, because I have thoroughly enjoyed our email exchange and how I wound up getting you on the show today. It was just one of those serendipitous things. And both of you, I thank, because I had this, as I shared with you both, I had this program scheduled, and then the person who was to be here, travel plans came up that I couldn't get in the way of. And so I admitted up front, I need you guys. This is what I want to talk about, and here you are. This has been absolutely fantastic. Andy, anything from you?
Yeah, I think it's been highly captivating, and I hope people take a lot away from it. And one thing that I think is really interesting, we didn't delve too deep in, though, is, you know, Jim, I get the idea that you really take something that I'm a fan of, which is a mindset of abundance versus scarcity. Mm-hmm. There's so much out there to do and achieve in the world, and we can cooperate and work together and create results for everybody versus people trying to carve out their own little niche of success and their own little achievements and kind of being selfish and scarce with it. And just your whole approach to partnering with people and other projects really exemplifies that. So I commend you on that aspect.
Thank you. I call the model the virtual business enterprise, where companies of the future will realize that even as a company, they just cannot really on their own be as successful as a company where from the supplier all the way up to the client's client are teaming together,
mm-hmm.
which is one reason why we're focusing so much on these concepts and teaming and how to get that done. For some people, they're born with an attitude they don't want to team. It's all about me. And a lot of success people talk about, it's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
One of my future books, and it's a chapter and actually a part of one of my new books, it's called The Secret Formula, where we actually show that here's the process, and to mature, you have to move beyond yourself into understanding what do other people want, what do they need. If you can help them get what they want, everyone's successful.
Sure. And that seems to be a theme from both of you this morning, and really you've exceeded my expectations in terms of helping people understand the importance of opening ourselves up, not to criticism, but to critique that will make us better than what we ever dreamed we could be.
Belinda, well, that was specifically why I asked Belinda the question about choosing your peer group.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no shortage of people willing to criticize you. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
But you're looking for that true critique.
Yes.
And that's big. And that is really big. And Jim, for you to, as I keep saying, open yourself to 30 or more, and just it's a constant process because you both realize that your products are going to be better. The public is going to be better served because of that. And then also realizing the strengths. You know, I have begun to delegate a lot of stuff in mm-hmm. my business now because if I want my business, my company to grow, it's got to be delegated. And so I'm finding what I'm good at and hoping to God that my independent contractors are good at what I've assigned to them. And so far, it's working and it's sweet. Well, you know, the clock has hit us again. It just always seems to do that every week. And we welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know and send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Andy, always for handling the controls and throwing in your insightful questions. I appreciate it.
You're always welcome.
Okay. And thank you to our guests, Belinda Mays and Jim Vilwalk. Belinda, your contact information one more time.
Check me out at belindamays.com. That's BELINDAMAYS.com.
And Jim?
It's Jim Vilwalk at jobdoctorsintl.com.
Okay. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.writechoiceservices.com. I hope you'll join us next week and tell your friends about the show. Send them an email right now even to invite them to listen live or to the downloads when they appear on the website. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at rightherenow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.